Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Following On podcast from Talk Sport. Will this be the penultimate show of the Ashes? Well, if there's another 17 wickets on day three, then yes, it will be. But we shall see. Myself, John Norman, Steve Harmison alongside me, looking back at a truly madcap day of fast-forward, frenzied Test cricket in Tasmania here on the Following On podcast. So if you're listening to the show by now, you know that Australia were batting at the start of the day and Australia were batting at the end of it. In between that, well, four wickets falling in Australia's first innings. 252 for eight, with both Stark and Cummins bounced out by Mark Wood. But they still managed to add another 51 before they were finally ended. Lyon hitting 31, Carey 24, 303, just to rub it in. Just to rub it into England, the fact that they can still go past 300 when England can't, even when they were 12 for 3, they managed it. England came out to bat and England did what England do. They lost their openers cheaply. Burns, I mean, if you were to put together a list of every single dismissal Rory Burns has had, it would probably cover every single type of dismissal it's possible to have. He was run out for naught, and Zach Crawley was caught short leg for 18. 34 for 2. At dinner or lunch or whatever that first break's called. And then England did what England do. Milan and Root. Milan batted defensively and Root got on with things. Got to 78 for 2. And they then promptly lost three wickets for 7 runs. Pat Cummins bringing himself on. A lucky dismissal to get rid of Milan. An absolute brilliant delivery to get rid of Joe Root. And a phenomenal catch by Nathan Lyon at point to dismiss Ben Stokes. Pope and Billings gave us all a little glimpse of what might be, but and continue to show what is. Pope edged behind, and Billings was caught on the hook. Chris Wokes, one of the most fortunate innings I've seen for a while, dropped first ball, dropped on 5, inside edge past his own stumps, played and missed about 10 times. He made 36. In fact, he top scored, I just realised. Stuart Broad did not do what Stuart Broad did at the SCG. He was out for a duck. And England subsided. 188, big first innings deficit. That was it, wasn't it? No, because Australia had to come and bat in the dark. David Warner made a pair, brilliant. Labuschagne was caught down the leg side. Third player to get caught down the leg side today. And then Khawaja, what a delivery from Mark Wood, an absolute brute. And Steve Smith and Scott Boland just about got through to stump. So Australia lead by 152, 7 wickets in hand. Woo, that was some day.
Story of the day.
Army, wow. That there's been some real, real tough times for you guys up throughout the night. But I imagine today, fine, didn't even need that 7th cup of coffee.
No, we didn't need that extra cup of coffee. I must admit, I think, what was it, when in that middle session when we decided that we were going to start, you know, back my roller skates on and chasing things that we didn't need to chase. I was ready for taxi to go home again. I think I phoned my taxi about 5 times on this trip to go home early because I've got nothing else to say. I'm sitting there going, what else am I going to say now? I'm really struggling. I'm looking across at Dan Norcross and he's asking my opinion and I'm thinking, well, I've said that. I've said that. I've said that. I've actually said that three times. And it just seems to be the same old, same old. We talk about techniques till the cows come home. You talk about this. And I've sat and chewed the fat for the last test match for Mark Butcher. I've really enjoyed, I must admit, John, I've really enjoyed working on the TV, this series. More so doing the commentary than doing the sort of sofa stuff. Because the commentary, you sat with Butch chewing the fat for the fourth test, sat with Ramps chewing the fat for this test match, talking about batting and techniques. I've done, 3 weeks now at Yorkshire. It's got a little insight of what the coaching is about. And I've never changed my mind on a good technique is if you leave the ball well, or if you can be in control of the ball in and around sort of off stump or fourth stump, and you can comfortably bat that way and be comfortable in and around that area, bowlers will then come to you. And that I'm looking at that from a batsman and a bowler's point of view. And constantly we are playing at things around fifth, sixth stump. Yeah, Ollie Pope, I don't want to have a go at the kid because it's his first test match coming back in. But that second in his dismissal, it was like, wow, if an under 15 had done that, I'd have been saying, look, you don't have to play it there, son. You really don't. Yeah, that needs to be left alone. And getting an under 15 to understand that length and that line needs to be left alone. This is a test match cricketer who's played 23 test matches. He's our great white hope. He is. Last year when we talked to Joe Root on Talk Sport, we talked about, and Joe saying the best young cricketer that we've got is Ollie Pope. They're going backwards in some of their techniques. They're going backwards in some of their thought processes and their execution. And for me today, again, Burns, there was a single. No matter what anybody says, on TV, you heard him say, no, yes, don't matter. There was a single. You could see it. Burns doesn't stop. I know Sir Alistair Cook said he should have dived. He didn't need a dive. He just needed an outstretched arm. He would have been in. So for me, there was a single there. Crawley's technique again, question marks. We're playing at balls where we don't need to be playing at balls. We're in areas of our body position we don't need to be in. Left foot, left toe is pointing in the opposite direction to where the bat is coming down and wanting to go. At the point of contact when he inside edged that ball, if he was a bowler, with that sort of action, you would change him. I tell you, I'll go even further. Troy Cooley changed Jimmy Anderson's action, bowling action, because his feet was pointing in the opposite direction to his shoulders. Troy Cooley changed his action because he tried to change Jimmy Anderson's action really early on, 2005-06 time, because he thought Jimmy Anderson's back would go eventually with this sort of action. That is a baton. This is the baton. Feet pointing in the opposite direction to where the bat's coming down and the shoulders are pointing. This is test match cricket. He gets an inside edge and he's now getting caught short leg. And they're so basic mistakes that shouldn't be happening in international sport. Australia haven't had to, again, I'm going to say it. This is the third time I've said it this series. Australia haven't had to work hard to take 10 wickets. They really haven't. And that's what annoys me the most. Stokes played a shot we didn't get on top of. Was it lack of restriction, lack of movement? Good catch by Lyon, like you say, but still, again, poor execution. Joe got one that nipped back, which is an area that if he plays, a lot of people said, oh, he should have been playing forward to. When he plays forward to that, he nicks it. When he plays back, he gets some LBW. Just seems to be that's the good length, especially Cummins. It's a good length to bowl at Joe Root. And I really thought Pat Cummins was going to blow us away. I thought he hasn't got wickets in this series, a big bag. I thought he was going to get 7 for here. I really did. He was absolutely phenomenal. So, and that's it. There's your top five. If your top five are blown away like that, you ain't getting 200. And that's been the story of 2021 and starting to become same old in 2022.
Do you think though that Australia were let off the hook by England's bowlers on day one? 188 is not a good score, right? But Australia should not be scoring 303.
Agreed. But when your best bowler of the Ashes has only bowled 8 overs at 75, then you're chasing it. as a captain, you've got nowhere to look, nowhere to go. He's had to bowl, what, 10 overs himself? Joe had to bowl 10 overs himself, I think it was.
Yeah.
10 overs in a pink ball test for a part-time bowler at a 75. Yeah, that tells you that. You can't keep going back to the same old. When you look at yesterday, I thought you had to keep Robinson going and Broad going, but that took a little bit of the edge off Chris Wokes, because then the swing wasn't swinging as much. The ball got a bit damp. And Wokes wasn't as effective then. Wokes and Wood's trajectory, skiddier trajectory on that surface, probably wasn't the ideal combination when it comes to what the surface was. Mitchell Starc got 3 wickets, but he went for 5.5 and over. So it was there to score off because it skidded onto the bat nicely. The ones that were going to be effective was the Robinsons, the Broads. And then to the next pierce, the next bit of pierce was Boland and Cummins when hitting the deck hard. So I think it's easy to look at the big picture and you turn around and you say, right, on this surface, 303 is a lot of runs. But I think when you put in the context that they didn't have Ollie Robinson from the 15th over, then I can understand why bowlers getting a bit tired, searching for things, because as a bowling unit, you're one bowler short. You're thinking, well, we need to get wickets. We're striving. And all of a sudden, for a passage of player, the ball started flying all over the road. And that was what happened when Wokes and Wood came on. They batted well and counteract very, very well. You look at the Australian batting unit. There was a 44, 74 and 100. Yeah, and Lyon had a bit of fun at the end there, but there wasn't a consistent flow of runs. Once you got in, you could sort of go at it and cash in. And I just thought England's bowling unit was always one short, and it was always going to be an uphill task when Ollie Robinson walked off the field. Because if it had been Chris Wokes that walked off the field, it might have been different because of the skittiness, the trajectory. Robinson was always going to be effective on this surface. So for him to walk off, that was a massive blow for Joe.
One thing you say, you've talked about every angle, and you're right. We have on this show, but one thing we haven't spoke about is Sam Billings. How did you rate him? Because I mean, I was listening to some of the commentary yesterday, and they were talking about how chirpy he is behind the stumps. Well, that doesn't really make any difference to me. You know how well he kept, and I'm thinking, well, you're saying the same thing about Alex Carey after 2 Test matches. Really, today was the real test. So how did you think he went about his game? He was out for 29 on the hook, and he played a couple of nice cover drives, and he played the game with a smile on his face, as you'd expect. But, you know, is he going to play another test, do you think? Is it going to be all down on his second innings?
It could be all down his second innings. I've got a funny feeling he is, you know. I really do. I think he might. I think he might have just done enough to nudge the selectors down the road and saying, right, if we're not going to play Joss, or Joss is going to be injured for the Caribbean. I actually think Billings will play more freely than what Butler's done in his career. In the grand scheme of things, you wanted Joss Butler to play in a certain way, which was carefree, just go at the ball, play the way you do in one day cricket. For some reason, it just hasn't worked for Joss, and that's not... Numbers don't lie, unfortunately. I hate stats, but that's one stats. Number don't lie. 50-odd test matches for the ability that he's got. 200s is not up to the mark, I don't think. I thought Sam kept really, really well. His noise and encouragement behind the stumps, I thought was important yesterday and this morning and today, tonight, for one reason and one reason alone. You've got a group of bowlers and the lads in the field who have been fielding, like they are feelers that have been constantly fielding. Stuart Broad's innings today was the man of, I am sick of bowling. It was like, he was, I'm sick of bowling. He wasn't getting in line. It looked as though that is a 35-year-old man who is just sick of what's going on. I'm sick of being bowled out for under 200. I'm sick of getting my head knocked off. And I'm constantly back out there bowling again. And I'm bowling again, and that for me was, and I would, yeah, I tell you what, one, I'm not going to knock him for it. Two, I reckon I think I'd be like that as well. I probably wouldn't have been as defensive as Stuart, trying to get out of the way of it. I think I'd have just swung from my backside and said, right, I'm off. Yeah, you know, I'm going to either get a few, but I ain't standing away getting hit. if you're lot, if you not lot are not going to do it, what's the point of me at number 10, number 11? So from a Sam Billings point of view, I think it was important that his noise and his energy was, it was up there, and more because he's asking his bowlers to keep going and keep going and keep going as Ollie Robinson is sitting on the sideline. So I think that is a plus point. Going forward, you wouldn't, time will tell. But actually, when he had the bat in his hand, he had decent movements. He went forward or he went back. He was in, he was a little bit loose, but he's a number seven. I want him to have a go. I want him to counteract. I want him to get in with a tail and then have a, you know, when the likes of Wood and Robinson and Anderson are broad or whoever's at the other end, I want him to bat freely, like he can express himself in one day in 2020 cricket. So from that aspect, I actually think he did all right. I did. I think he did all right. You know, we get bowled out for 188. You know, you can't expect, you know, magical things by somebody who's driven 9 hours to make his test match debut. So I think it's a tick in the right box and going in the right area. Time will tell. He's got another innings. He goes to the West Indies as a backup batsman. If he made the first test match squad because Joss wasn't either picked or fit over Folks, I wouldn't have an issue with that. I think we've got bigger problems than whether it's Ben Folks, Ollie Pope, Sam Billings, Johnny Bairstow, or even Joss Butler at number seven. I think we've got problems majority of the time, 1-6.
Yeah, Ben Folks was dropped. Last time he played for England was against the West Indies in West Indies. So I just have the feeling that they don't fancy him. But then, of course, if he hadn't done his hamstring last summer, he would have played ahead of Bracey, wouldn't he? And yeah. How different would that have been? So quick word before the end of the show. Mark Wood, because he took a bit of tap yesterday, came back today. He bounced out Mitchell Starc. He bounced out Patrick Cummins. And then late in the day, bounced out Usman Khawaja. He's really impressed me. He's become a real bowler. This series, there's been very, very few bright spark or bright lights or whatever you want to, whatever the phrase is. But Mark Wood certainly he's probably been England's player of the series.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he has. I think a lot of the bright sparks from England's point of view have been in the bowling department. Ollie Robinson, another one who I think has bowled well.
Yeah,
it was interesting criticism by somebody who knows him well in John Lewis, bowling coach at Sussex. Probably Ken Sear, one of the only coaches that could possibly see. And he was basically reading between the lines saying, you know, you need to get your feet at the fish up, you know, stop drinking as much and get yourself in a physical shape to bowl and play. And I tell you what, I'll come back at that one in a second off the Mark Wood, because that happened to me and there was a light on moment in my career. But Mark Wood has been unbelievable on this trip. He's been somebody that Joe's constantly asked him to bowl at 150 kilometres an hour and he's delivered. It was a tough day for him yesterday. It really was. And a bit like what we said last night, John, we talked about Chris Wokes and a couple of wickets completely changes your confidence levels and you go, and that's what Wokes needed this morning. But also Mark's this character that looks as though he's ultra confident, this character that looks as though he's the life and soul of every party. He's like everybody else. He's insecure. He needs a little bit of love. And obviously he needed the wickets this morning. I have had one or two conversations with him on this trip so far in telling them that green thing with an Australian badge on won't bite your back if you try and hit it and you go and aim for it. When he bowls it, when he's been bowling at the likes of Cummins, Starc, Hazelwood, Boland, anybody else. And I was like, Mark, it's not going to hit your back, you know, if you hit it. You've got to go at that ball to get them out the way of the stumps. And I thought for the first time, you know, he's gone hard at the Australian bowlers. And he got his just rewards. He got his two wickets. Who cares how many runs you go for? They still keep saying to him, you're there to take wickets. Broad and Anderson will bowl two and over. They'll keep the strike rate down. You just get the wickets. You get the good players out when nothing much is happening. And I think he's done that more often than not on this trip so far, an indifferent day yesterday. So I'm really pleased for him. I'm pleased for him. And, you know, his stock's gone up, whether there's an IPL round the corner Whether there's other things that go with it, but I think he can come off that plane at Heathrow next week with his head held high and say, right, I got off the plane better than I got on it. And I think there's not many England players can do that. The Ollie Robinson one, a little story from my own point of view. I came back from Bangladesh in 2003, I think it was. I got man of the match in the first test match. I couldn't understand all the criticism I was getting. Didn't play in Dhaka. There was an article in a paper wrote by Derek Pringle. A player had been spoken to, and I think it was Marcus Trzaskowski. I'm not going to hide it. And I think there was question marks in the dressing room. Not only did I want to be an international cricketer, but did I have the appetite to do the hard yards, especially as a fast bowler? Now, obviously, there was underlying things going on mentally, which I don't think Marcus realised, and then he had his own troubles from that. I don't have a problem with him, you know, venting his frustration that as a senior player, you know, somebody that he thinks has got talent is maybe not working as hard as what he should have. I then went away. I went to the West Indies. But before I went to the West Indies, I learned very, very quickly in 8 weeks, and I got asked by, you know, questions by a physios and fitness coaches about getting fit. And I went to Newcastle and got fit. Not only did I get fit to play cricket, I got a mentality of training with a lot of sportsmen. I got when to eat and how to eat at the right time, because I was of the assumption that if it had a head on, I drank it. And if it had batter on, I ate it. And that was the times of the day I did. And I'm holding my hands up here. I had a shocking lifestyle going into that 2004 trip to the West Indies. I had 8 weeks where Sir Bobby Robson changed my life by giving me the freedom to move, the understanding of what I had to do to become an international sportsman. I had a gym when I looked around of international sportsmen, Alan Shearer, Gary Speed, Shea Given, to name three unbelievable, dedicated characters. And I changed my life big time. It changed the way I looked at the life. I changed the look at sport, and it changed the way I looked, more importantly, at how to look after my body. And maybe Ollie Robinson has just had that moment with John Lewis, because they might have done it publicly. They might have had three or four people telling him privately, but now somebody's gone public, and it might have been the last straw for the England management team to say, right, we're going to say this publicly, because if not, you're gone. No matter how good you are, if you're not prepared to put in the hard work to make sure you get fit, if we go on the field with four bowlers and you're walking off after 16 overs, then we've got a problem. We can't take you on the field anymore. We can't pick you anymore, because I can't trust you, no matter how good you are. And I think that moment might have just hit for Ollie Robinson. So for him to get between now and the West Indies, there might be some soul searching, looking in the mirror and thinking, right, wow, I've just been called out in the media in the middle of an Ashes to say I'm not fit enough. My lifestyle's not good enough. I have to change this. If he changes it, brilliant, because he's got the talent. If he doesn't change it, well, more fool him. England just move on.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story.
In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So, Harmy, what is going to happen on day three?
I think we might have 17 wickets and the game will be over. I really do. I struggle to see how we can, once Australia get beyond 260, I mean, what are they now, 152? 152. I think if England have to chase more than 260 on this surface, bearing in mind, we'd have 2.5 hours at the end of the day where their tails will be up and they will be ready. No matter what happens, I think they might think of declaring late, just before the light starts to go, because I don't think they can get into the following day and have everything go in their favour with the bowlers and the new ball. So I still think there'll be a declaration with two hours to go, and then that's when they'll hit England if they bat for that long. If England can knock them over, then they might have a chance of somebody getting in when the light in the ball is, or they can dampen the ball down before the lights take effect, and that will help England. But where England are at the minute with the bat in hand, I can see England's bowlers knocking them over for another 120 runs, 130 runs. And is there any fight left in this batting unit? Getting bowled out for 188 suggests not. So we either finish late and take an extra half an hour at the end of tomorrow, or we finish first thing on Monday morning. But either way, I think England are going to lose this series 4-0.
Well, we shall see. Whatever happens, we'll be back. Harmy, thanks for everything. And thanks for listening to Following On Podcast.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.